Action Postgame.
Let's go.
Brought to you by your local GTA Acura dealers. Visit yours today.
Stars back in their own zone. Oleksiak launching it high to center ice. Knocked out of the air by the Leafs, and now here is a chance for Tavares. In across the line. Kerfoot spins it back to the point. Muzzin in front. Rebound in front. They score! Wee Willie Nylander! His fifth goal in as many games! And the Leafs have a two-goal lead.
Like Gord Stellick's new beard, Willie Nylander continues to be on absolute fire. That's now 13 in the last 16. Another massive road win for the Maple Leafs. Top in the Stars 5-3, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Nick Alberga, and Gord Stellick with you at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick, where you can follow along via Twitter. Many thanks to Sam McKee, Vic Palladian for their hard work behind the scenes. Gord, bottom line, they got the job done again tonight in Dallas.
Yeah, I don't know if my beard's a winner, but that's a game-winning goal. I like it so far. And Willie Nylander, that was the game-winning goal as well. He's just got that knack of getting in the right place. He's just on fire. He's just oozing confidence. He got that swagger back that Mike Babcock talked about. He went and got it back. Good on him. But, man, it's the other line, just phenomenal. Matthews, Marner, Hyman. And Zach Hyman in particular.
He was outstanding.
The ever-ready whatever Charger bunny. Like, he is like an amphibious war vehicle.
I love how you couldn't say the name.
I don't know which one it is. I get them mixed up. I remember being at a remote once and I had the wrong battery cover, so I leave them both alone. But he is like an amphibious vehicle in wartime. He really is. Just phenomenal. But to your point, two real nice road wins since the All-Star break. Now 8 consecutive road games. They've scored at least 4 goals on the road. That's not easy to do, and they did it tonight.
Franchise record.
Well, and they did it tonight against good goaltending and a real good defensive core. And very different than the Nashville team, which has been struggling the other night. Nice couple of wins. Tough place to win in their only visit in Dallas.
Yeah, those are two really difficult buildings, and historically the Maple Leafs have not done well in Dallas or Nashville for that matter. So a 5-3 win here for the Maple Leafs. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick. Leafs Nation postgame underway, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Again, we'll go down to American Airlines Center later on and join Chris Johnston of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. Up?
Just got to say, okay. Matthew Tkachuk scores 1:01 into the game.
I thought you were saying up instead of down.
I just meant about, like, we'll do the out-of-town scores later on, but we're looking at what's going to happen.
Is that revenge, Gord?
The Battle of Alberta. Will something happen early?
He didn't score it.
Oh, he didn't get it. Anyway, they scored, but Tkachuk, lucky, Eddie might have got an assist. Anyway, so that's what happened quick. Corner of my eye that way.
Interject.
As we talk about one battle in the Battle of Alberta.
Whenever you'd like, Gord Stellick. So Chris Johnston is coming up from Big D later on. We'll go inside the locker room. We'll hear from Sheldon Keefe. The numbers, as you see me document on a daily basis on Twitter, at the Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick, the updated numbers for the Maple Leafs under Sheldon Keefe, 18-7-3. And we've seen a lot of the same. This team can score goals. Gord, I'll be frank with you. I still have my wonders defensively, but it's a fun time to watch this Maple Leafs team play because, again, they're playing to their strengths, and they're an absolute handful. They truly are. I thought that Matthews line, Dallas had no answer. And on the other side of the spectrum, I thought Toronto did an excellent job against the Seguin line. I mentioned multiple times watching this game, I did not notice Brampton native Tyler Seguin, who, historically in his career has dominated the Maple Leafs. He was really, really quiet in this game.
Yeah, he was a -1. He played 20 minutes, 19 seconds, 3 shots on net. And one of our keys to victory was about that, because you're right. Tyler Seguin scoring at about 100-point clip against the Toronto Maple Leafs historically. And that was, Pierre Engvall, another guy that impressed.
Yeah.
The defense, Jake Muzzin, smart play. Like, just there was just some bite and intensity and give a bleep that last six game stretch, when Sheldon Keefe used the term immaturity, that was part of what seemed to be absent in a chunk of those 6 games. They've had it in spades these 2 games.
So do you think the maturity buzzword is going to take over for special player?
Special player is the one guy, Zach Hyman in Babcock. It's not so, it's how he said it. He just gushed. And that's when Zach Hyman was injured. Oh, he's a special player. I don't know. I can't do it.
But the immature team was
directed
right,
to the team.
And it makes sense because this is a young Maple Leafs team, right?
Well, absolutely. Yeah. And in both cases, and it's another thing to discuss as well, that I'm all for all the rest. I think it's been good. I think guys, mentally need it. They don't need to practice. They don't need to practice as hard. They go so hard at it. But in those 2 games in question, Florida game and the Chicago game, schedule's not as tough right now. And there were off days before, and they didn't have a morning skate, or it was optional, and two guys showed up. And I think, you know, maybe there's a bit of a happier medium you can have, that part of being, say, an immature team, you don't need as much rest as older guys, and maybe getting your head in the game and coming down and focusing a few hours before, because that's been your routine up till this year, or maybe part of last year, should be done a few more times.
And the important thing is, and again, we didn't see this in the latter stages of Mike Babcock, the response. And that's what I was most curious to see, because coaches blow gaskets all the time. It's the response you want to see from these professionals. And the first two games out of the break, I don't care what these guys did during the break, if they're, you know, birding A-Man's Corner in at Augusta National or on the beach somewhere, they came to play. And these are, you know, we can't understate the importance of these two wins, Gord. Again, we've seen them go to Nashville, get bombed before. We've seen them go to Dallas and get bombed before. Those are, you know, I know Nashville's struggling, as you mentioned, but Dallas is firmly in a playoff spot. They're certainly a team that can contend for a Stanley Cup this year. And to go in those two buildings and pull out victories, we're going to look back at these two games for sure and really underline and say, hey, those are big wins.
Yeah, and maybe like Sam McKee's report about Freddie Anderson getting a birdie on the 12th hole at Augusta, maybe that was the start of it. And then being an all-star, whatever it is, because as we analyze games, pretty well at the end of any decent game, it's got to be goaltending. And the Freddie Anderson of
31
old
saves.
Has been the Freddie Anderson of old has been there for these particular two games. 31 saves, but some real big ones, some real timely ones. But also, you know, guys are blocking shots, doing a lot of things. It's got some real bite, a real understanding and awareness how valuable these games, which again, to go back to those six games before, it spilt milk, but that's where they appeared not to quite grasp it.
And you talk about Freddie Anderson, you know, I often listen to the broadcasts and I'm, you know, intrigued, fascinated with the sentiments of Jim Ralph, the color guy. I mean, this is the guy who's lived the position, played the position at a pro level, and he seems to have a firm understanding of what's going on in there. There are often times we work at Scotiabank Arena, he'll say, you know, he just doesn't have it tonight, Freddie Anderson. And, you know, he doubled down similar to us during the intermissions and said there's something different about Freddie Anderson the last couple games. And although he centered three goals in this game, you got to tip your cap. A couple lackadaisical plays by the blue line. Good snipes for the Dallas Stars. You got to tip your cap sometimes. But Freddie Anderson looks more engaged out of this break. And it's sort of fascinating. Maybe you got a bit of a boost going All-Star
week. Yeah, I know, engaged is an interesting word. I don't know what the word is. That's not a bad word that way. I really like the goaltending coach, Steve Briere. It doesn't matter so much. I like him. Freddie Anderson and Michael Hutchinson, the key is they got to like him. Well, and it's as much a mental thing and an attitudinal thing and an understanding thing about when to get in the guy's space, when to get out of the guy's space. It's a very interesting job. It's like a full-time babysitter in some ways and a myriad of other things. So this is the kind of goaltending Leafs are going to need down the stretch. And these are a couple. Again, you're not out of the woods yet because things change rather drastically. Now you got the Ottawa Senators.
And I will say that too. Like we can change that tune quickly with a disappointing, you know, performance coming off two road games on Saturday, right?
Yeah, everyone expects you're gonna beat the Ottawa Senators. Well, they beat Buffalo the other night, but the Toronto Maple Leafs should beat the Ottawa Senators, and the Maple Leafs really have an element, not quite of desperation, but they got something they're playing for, where the Ottawa Senators, I give them credit, they're playing with a lot of pride, but they don't have anything to play for as far as the playoffs go.
Yeah, these games are massive for the Maple Leafs, and I understand they know the opportunity. So that wraps up the month of January for this Maple Leafs team. And again, you look at the NHL calendar, Gord, February 24th, the next day we're looking at effectively the trade deadline. What do you anticipate over the next couple weeks? And I think we'd both agree this team likely needs at least one defenseman. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. Yeah. And it's the kind of thing, can you do?
Yeah.
Can you do a Jake Muzzin type trade, a guy that has some term left? And, you know, if you think of Matt Dumba from Minnesota, he's got a lot of term left. And
that makes sense,
you know,
though.
I know. And that makes it a little tougher, and they want more going the other way. But that would be what you got enough forwards. You know, you want to get a little bit of sandpaper? I don't know. It's not something you trade for. Like Wayne Simmonds going to Nashville. You know, the sandpaper is just a different component to plunk in a lineup for someone who's relatively new to the team that way. So one thing it's done, it's taken the pressure off for now, Kyle Dubas, to have had to make some deals. Like if they'd lost these two games coming out of the break,
in trouble.
You're in trouble. And that also might behoove you to make a deal a little bit quicker, pull the trigger on a deal that way. It is funny. General managers smell blood. Like they smell blood and they just, you know, all of a sudden when they feel they got someone on the hook, and then they win two games. They go, damn, okay, I got to put that in the back burner. I think we were close to doing whatever. And then the other way, when They start losing a few and they lose again. There's the phone call trying to either sweeten the pot minimally, but just to try to get the person to move because you think the timing's right.
I would love to hear some backstory and fly in the wall type stories of converging on deals and the back and forth that goes through. Like, do you start, you know, calling and texting a GM in November to set the groundwork for a move you want to make around the deadline? That's my wonder. And when do you know as an organization to finally pull the trigger and say, hey, that's the best value we're going to get for this player and move on, especially if you're a seller? Because I think what I would do if I were a seller, I would pit the teams that I know are fighting with each other for respective players. Brendan Dillon comes to mind. Boston's involved. Any playoff team is going to want Brendan Dillon. I'm sure the Maple Leafs are involved. I would pit them together, take the best offer out of that. And you were a GM. How'd you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And you want to get even two of them's enough. If you get two that are really, yeah, really sweet on it to try to make the deal. You know, Nick, I mean, now there's so many other things, although I don't know how much you text anymore. I still think you'd hesitate putting anything at all with guys' names in text or email form. So I think it still comes down to the old-fashioned phone call or face-to-face. But every time you talk to another general manager, you did always throw things out because it's just an ongoing process. So you would know at some point something might come up and you go, yeah, you know, we like John Smith here on New Jersey. And then you say, well, the Jersey GM is always like Bill Jones on our team. You know something? So we know we got a starting point.
Yeah.
If that's the way we're looking to do it, because it's almost overwhelming to start from scratch with 30 colleagues just a month before the trade deadline.
Yeah, and I'm sure you got players in mind. Like, teams and their scouting departments will get together, I'm sure, way before the deadline and sort of circle some guys that be in, you know. And these teams are not dumb either. A lot of teams know that they're finished. I understand with the parity in this league, you think you're involved, but you're not. You got to be realistic. And that's why I want to see what this Maple Leafs team does over the next couple weeks. But if I do expect a trade, I expect it sooner rather than later. And I do think there is a need at least for one defenseman on the back end. We saw Rasmus Sandin tonight. I know I gushed about him earlier. There were moments where you noticed Rasmus Sandin was a rookie, and you're going to have those moments. I get he's playing up the lineup. I think for where he's playing, he's handling it all right. You know, he's playing the penalty kill. Like, there's a definite need on this team for at least one defenseman, in my opinion.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I was not awarding him the Norris Trophy after last game tonight.
But he was impressive.
Yeah, 12 minutes, 51 seconds, minus one, one shot on goal. That, again, is not the body of work. I have liked his poise. He did, you know, maybe got caught one time, ill-advised play. Maybe got fed another time physically once or twice. Things like that will happen. But as a unit, the Maple Leaf D against a very strong Dallas Star team, I thought I played really well. And that includes Rasmus Sandin. And I still do like that little poise, the ability to do that. Well, Brian Leetch is a guy I always remember from decades ago. Just that subtle, innocent-looking kind of play. But it's like having flies on you and you shake them off, right? Just by making a move. And he just does that and seemingly see a bunch of other players, opposing players, go the wrong direction.
Now, the other thing to note, too, and I think you're right in bringing that up, is we're not talking about it enough, I think, in this market, how good this Maple Leafs team is on the road. Certainly when you get to a playoff setting, those games become even more pivotal. Guessing, just my estimation, the Maple Leafs might not have home ice advantage in the first round. If you play Tampa or Boston or Florida, who knows who you're going to play? Let's hope they get there to begin with. But I think to demonstrate the ability to win on the road often isn't talked about enough. And this Maple Leafs team, Gord, has been exceptional under Sheldon Keefe on the road. What are they, 9-1-0 or something under like they have got a really, really strong record and they continue to win game after game. And I think you instill that energy in the room that says you can go in any building in this league and win hockey games. I think that's massive come the Stanley Cup playoffs, granted you make it.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that's the case. Yeah. I hope it transposes into the Stanley Cup playoffs in that way, because at one point we were talking about, okay, let's see the battle maybe for home ice advantage when they've been on a tear and the other teams had cooled off a little bit. But been great on the road. Been great on the road, which is a real plus for any team.
The Maple Leafs win at 5-3 here in Dallas, just getting cooking on Leafs Nation. Post-game later on, we'll go down to American Airlines Center and join Chris Johnston of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night of Canada. We'll try to catch up as well with Sheldon Keefe, his post-game thoughts, and go inside the locker room. The next game up for the Maple Leafs, Saturday night at Scotiabank Arena against the Ottawa Senators. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick on Twitter, at the Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick, and brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation post-game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Don't worry, we'll turn the lights off when we leave, but we're not done yet. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you, breaking down a huge 5-3 win on the road for your Maple Leafs. The beat goes on for the Hyman, Matthews, and Marner line, combining for 5 points in this game. Again, you can find us on Twitter at The Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick. Chris Johnson, Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada will join us a bit later on. We'll go inside the locker room. We'll hear from Sheldon Keefe as well and just break down another crucial victory against a Central Division team, and certainly the similarities with changing coach a bit different and why they changed coach. But Rick Bowness had this team playing well. In Dallas, their seventh loss now, 11-7-1 under Rick Bowness here. But the Maple Leafs found a way here, Gord.
Yeah, they really did. And even a little one, just the empty net goal. And by the way, good job about, a couple icings, which they knew they don't do them on purpose, but they're frustrating. You know, you're tired,
yeah,
giving Dallas another chance to set up. So Andreas Johnsson hadn't scored in a while. He'd been hurt. Hadn't scored in a while, so even though it's an empty net goal with 3 seconds left, he'll take it.
It's
just
kind
of a psychological one to get going that way. But Zach Hyman's just the master with the goaltender pulled. Holy mackerel. He's just everywhere. But they're just, it's one of those ones, as I say, if we had the walk to the subway, we'd be bouncing a lot of things off each other about the game tonight, as well as Gurianov on Dallas. There's, we think of them being a team with Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin as the guys, and, pretty solid D in that. And Leafs, we talk about their young talent. Gurianov, great speed and a real talented player on the Dallas side.
Yeah, and certainly a guy with the pedigree. I believe he was a first-round pick in 2015, now 22 years of age. This is a big moment, a big year for a career like Denis Gurianov. And last I checked, on pace for about 24, 25 goals. That was by far the top player I noticed in the Dallas ice in this game. Again, I think Toronto did a pretty decent job with the big boys. Jamie Benn imposed his will a bit in this game at a couple big-time checks, and that's what Jamie Benn did. I thought Joe Pavelski was quiet. I thought Tyler Seguin was quiet. Dallas's back end is always going to be a game plan, and I thought Klingberg was good. Haskinen was good. But all in all, I think the Maple Leafs did a pretty decent job against a team that can score goals. They don't score goals as much as you would think, considering the firepower they have. But the one thing I'll stress too that I really like about Dallas's composition, their depth guys, and their bottom six was very effective in this game.
Yeah, and Jamie Benn led all players with 6 hits.
Yeah.
And he kind of got things going. And to the point, Nick, this is exactly what the Toronto Maple Leafs are saying. This is the kind of game that at times you thought physically they're no match for the Dallas Stars, but ultimately they win the game. And this is the point that Brendan Shanahan and Kyle Dubas feel will bear out in their favor. Even though the Toronto Marley teams that Kyle Dubas ran with Sheldon Keefe, they did have muscle.
Yeah.
They did have muscle. They just don't happen to have it here. They don't feel the need to go out and spend a big price to get it. And as a matter of fact, it was one play where Sandin got hit. And I'll say that he did one of those stops away from the board, so it looked like a dirty hit, a hit from behind. Some people thought it was a Dallas penalty. It wasn't. Cody Ceci got the reaction penalty. And, it's, again, the old thing, sticking up for your teammates, fine, but taking that minor penalty is not so fine.
Yeah, and it's going to happen from time to time. And on that note, I think sometimes you got to step up, right? We talked about it, Freddie Anderson last game, the first period, he was really, really strong. I think the Leafs PK deserves a lot of credit. The last 15 minutes of that game, they were in stressful situations. And you need all facets of the game to win hockey games. You're not going to win every game 5-3 or high scoring to a low scoring type affair. And you need your special teams, whether it be the power play or the PK. And I think it's important to highlight the penalty kill there. I thought Cody Ceci was effective tonight, Gord. He's had his moments as a Maple Leaf so far.
Yeah, he was +3 the other night. Tonight, actually, it's Tyson Barry and Travis Dermott that were +3. And again, it's not everything, but still,
Agreed.
It's a positive stat. So I want to throw that out there about those guys on D that way. What was really surprising, to go back to the Mike Babcock era, which seems like forever ago, but just things got so discombobulated in so many ways this season that the power play was frustrating, and you're saying, can it not get going? Look at all that talent. That the penalty kill kind of got hit, and they were granted, they didn't have Zach Hyman in the lineup. He was
Paul
hurt.
Sokolov.
But penalty killing was terrible.
Yeah.
And you kind of forgot about it because the power play was top of everybody's mind, but their special teams were brutal. And that just kind of mirrored a brutal start in so many ways because those little things, and special teams aren't little things, but they're just very important components. And when you can't, you can't fire on either side of that, no wonder you're having trouble.
And we said that at the time of the coaching change, Babcock to Keefe, that you just sharpen up the power play and the PK, and exponentially you're going to improve. And that's why it's not a big-time shock to me. I don't know about you. This Maple Leafs team scored 18-7-3 under Sheldon Keefe. It's, again, at the time, we both agreed it was the right move. I think we both continue to echo those sentiments. It's a much different-looking team and a team that could do some damage in the Stanley Cup playoffs. We go down to American Airlines Center in Dallas and join Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. CJ, thanks so much for hopping on here. Your thoughts on this 5-3 win against the Stars?
Well, certainly a lot to like, and probably most important for Toronto is, you know, getting a second straight win out of the All-Star break and you know, closing that gap that had opened up between them and the Florida Panthers in terms of, you know, chasing down that final playoff spot. But, you know, when this team is doing this, I mean, they scored 5 goals pretty easily tonight, in my opinion, and that's, you know, against the stingiest team in the league. You know, the Stars have done a very good job defensively this year. Ben Bishop's having another fine season and goal for them. And you know, when the Leafs are patient and, you know, just relying on their instincts and waiting to pounce, I mean, they can put up a lot of goals in a hurry. And you know, I thought that's what they did. They were in control most of the night. And this team's amazing when they get ahead in games. I mean, I don't have the stat, but I know it's really good. They basically won almost every game where they've scored first. And, you know, Austin Matthews got them on the board and they were off and running.
You know, us amateur coaches, there were two things that the suggestions to Mike Babcock and one we're right about and one he was right about in that, first of all, thinking that Zach Hyman shouldn't be on the top two lines. Well, he certainly was right about that. And look at the line he's on right now and the fact that he would not play Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews together all that much. So good on Sheldon Keefe for doing that. But the fit with Hyman, that line's been off the charts. And you still got a Tavares and Nylander and others. But that line is just and that one goal. I mean, they're working magic. The subtle little passes to go along with the power shots from Austin Matthews, the seeing eye passes from Marner, and the Zach Hyman becoming a two-way offensive force now.
Well, I think there's a couple things there. I mean, Hyman deserves credit for improving his all-around game. You know, the work ethic has never been in question. It's always been his strong suit. I think that's what Mike likes so much, his ability to win, you know, board battles and get in on the forecheck, those types of things. But, you know, he's made a lot of nice offensive plays, I think, now. And you know, I think he's improved in that area. And we'll probably never get true credit because this team, you know, obviously has a number of players that are more adept at doing that. But, you know, I think that he's grown his game and it's allowed him to stay on that line even as the Leafs have gotten deeper and have other options nowadays. I mean, when he first ended up there in Austin Matthews' rookie year, a lot of that was just due to the fact that they didn't have other players to fill that role. But, you know, now he's there on his own volition and he does deserve credit for that. And, you know, the main reason that Mike Babcock didn't want to split or didn't want to have Matthews and Marner together was, you know, about it building depth through the lineup. Well, I think one of the reasons that this works so well and that there's such a comfort level from Sheldon Keefe is that, you know, William Nylander's having by far his best NHL season. And you know, they haven't really had that much of a drop-off between the first and second line because Nylander has done such a nice job playing with John Tavares. I think it's freed the Leafs up to roll out, you know, Marner, which is obviously their best playmaker, and Matthews, which, you know, may be the best finisher in the entire league. You know, playing them together makes a lot of sense intuitively, but I think that they can stick with it because they're also getting a fair bit of offense from elsewhere in the lineup. And so, you know, this is what the Leafs envisioned. You know, we spent a couple of years there talking about the contracts and all this and this and that. Well, you know, the truth is the Leafs were able to do what Kyle Dubas promised, which is keep all these guys under contract to Toronto. You gave them all long-term deals. You know, the top three scorers in terms of points on the team are you know, Matthews, Marner and Nylander, and they're, you know, the oldest one of them is 23. So, you know, this is the vision coming into light now, and you know, it's a pretty nice sight. I know Toronto's on the playoffs, but I think if you look at the big picture here, I mean, this is a real dangerous hockey team right now, and you know, I'm with you. I love seeing Matthews, Marner and Hyman as a line, and I think Nylander deserves credit here, scoring his fifth straight game, and you know, it looks to me like he's on his way to 35 or more.
I got to ask a follow-up on a contract. So Zach Hyman, following this season, July 1, eligible for an extension, given this cap situation, where do you start with that negotiation, CJ? Because he'll be 1 year away from UFA status.
It's going to be a tricky one because there's symbolic nature in there too, right? Yeah. It's not just about dollars and cents. I mean, I think Zach Hyman is, you know, he's been growing up with this team. He played with a lot of these guys with the Marlies and has really, you know, earned his way into this lineup. And I think he's, you know, not someone who wears a letter, but has a lot of leadership qualities, you know, on the team. And so the truth is you probably go into the next year with him unsigned. You know, I haven't asked anyone about this because we're getting a little ahead of ourselves.
Yeah,
but,
not fair. Yeah.
You know, it might be the kind of deal they can't do a year out. And let's face it, there's a chance he might price himself out of the team. You know, I'm not saying that's going to happen. I haven't really studied it, but that's going to be the problem with the way the NHL salary cap works. Any mid-level player on the team is always in danger of being too good to get too big a raise that they can't afford it. You know, that's why you're hearing even trade rumors now with Kapanen, Kerfoot, and Johnsson. It's just because they're expendable parts. It's not because they're you know, poor players. I mean, they're players every team that doesn't have the forward depth the Leafs have wanted to get their hands on, and they carry a lot of value as a result. And so, you know, it's possible that Hyman won't get a new deal with the Leafs, that it'll just be worth too much. But, you know, we'll have to let that play out a little bit and see how things develop.
Yeah, you know, sports is mirroring life about the middle class is getting squeezed in both components. So that'll be one challenge down the road. The other thing is, let's face it, whenever we're talking about a win, pretty well for most teams, we're talking about a team that got pretty good goaltending. And that was the case. Freddie Anderson, whether it was getting the birdie on the 12th hole in Augusta or the All-Star experience, you know, whatever it may be, this is the Freddie of old.
I can tell you that birdie went a long way for him because Freddie is a golf nut. He's probably the Leafs' biggest golf nut on the team. I mean, there's better golfers that play for the Leafs, but he's obsessed with it. He follows the PGA Tour very closely. And he was pretty proud of that birdie that he rolled in on the 12th there at Augusta. So, you know, that might have helped get his mind right. You know, he also met with Sheldon Keefe and Steve Breer, the Leafs goalie coach, after that last game against Chicago before the break, that they wanted to impart a message to him, give him a chance, I think, to wipe the slate clean and try to, you know, focus on a lot of the good that happened for him in the first half, because the first half was full of tons of good for him. It's just the last couple games prior to that break, I think, were difficult. And so, you know, the time off probably benefited him as much as anyone. And, you know, I think it's very encouraging the way he's played in these first two games out of the All-Star break, because as much as the Leafs can score, we know that they're going to need some goaltending to get into the playoffs, to make the push they want to make here in the last 30 games. And we've just seen enough from this guy. I fully expect him to do it. I have a lot of confidence that he will rebound. He's never had too long of a down period during his years as an NHL player. And I do think that a trip down to Georgia was a bonus for him.
Yep, not to mention it's a long season, the ebbs and flows of being an NHL goalie. CJ, thanks so much for this. Safe travels home, and we'll talk next on Monday night when the Maple Leafs host the Florida Panthers, one of the biggest games of this season. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Thanks, guys.
There's Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night of Canada. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick. A 5-3 win here for the Maple Leafs on the road in Dallas. Other side of this short break, the call of the game. We'll hear from Sheldon Keefe as well as we roll on here at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick, where you can chime in on this 5-3 victory on Twitter. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
After a meal like that, you deserve a little dessert. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Leafs 5, Stars 3 from Dallas, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick, where you can follow along via Twitter. It's time for the VTEC call of the game. Win the ultimate Toronto sports getaway with the VTEC wake up call. Call 416-413-4141. Leave a message and set your alarms every Friday morning for your chance at the weekly $500 prize. To qualify for the grand prize, visit sportsnet.ca/590 for details.
Matthews lost the draw, but it's poked out at center ice. A race for it now, and the Leafs are going to score into an empty net. Johnsson puts the finishing touches to it, and the Leafs are going to go 2-for-2 on the road with a couple of empty net goals to solidify victories in Nashville and now Dallas.
The dulcet tones of one Joe Bowen. That was a massive goal because the Stars got really, really close there in the final waning moments. Andreas Johnsson ices it, Gord.
Yeah, and Zach Hyman, who did barely anything badly, unfortunately, had one icing. He wasn't practicing his pool, you know, the ball off the bunk, you know, the side and all that stuff, the felt. he kind of tried to label it off the boards.
The trick shot.
Did an icing that way, came back, and they were hell-bent for leather. They were under siege, and then that was a nice one to get in. And just a quick reminder. So Austin Matthews is 36 of the season. Zach Hyman got his 14th. Tyson Berry, a big goal. He hadn't scored since that game against Carolina December 23rd. He got his 5th. Nylander is 24th. He's on a tear and ends up being the game winner. And then Johnsson, with 3 seconds left, that empty netter.
And so the Maple Leafs improved to 18-7-3 under their new bench boss. Here's the thoughts of Sheldon Keefe on this victory.
What did you see in terms of resilience here tonight to get the victory in Dallas?
I thought we had a real good period there, good process. Obviously, wouldn't like to give them the goal back like we did, but I thought we started really well. We generated a number of really good scoring chances ourselves and maybe could have had even more goals, especially early there. And then I just liked how we battled. I mean, getting wins like this on the road, got a late penalty kill and goalies out for a long period of time there. Like, those are tough sequences. You're relying on a small number of guys to get that done, and the guys just found a way.
Is it a matter of when you're getting it done, holding on to leads late in the game, the more you do it, the better you get at it?
Well, I think that's part of it, for sure. I mean, we'd rather not be in that position. I know we had a 2-goal lead, and that's where you'd rather would be. You know, you score the first goal in the third period, and that puts you up in an even better spot. But certainly, if you give it back, then you've got to just, you know, battle and find a way and limit what you give up on the inside. And know that they're going to have a push, but try to keep it from stuff on the outside that we can block or that Freddie can see. And I thought we did a pretty good job of that.
What have you seen about Austin Matthews during this incredible hot run that he's on right now?
I mean, I don't need to tell you guys that Austin's a very talented player. And, you know, he puts himself in good spots. Obviously, today Mitch gave him a puck in a great spot, and that's a world-class finish. You know, we've come accustomed to seeing that, and that's what he's capable of doing. And when he's really playing and really skating and really engaged in the game, he's hard to stop.
You're the stingiest team, obviously, in the league this season. What did you like from a team-wide perspective about how you generated offense today?
Well, I thought that we played, especially in the start of the game, we played a very patient game, very controlled game. I thought at times we failed to really get in behind their defense and really establish our game in the offensive zone. That's a real strength of their team in terms of their ability to stop you there. But through the first period and the second half of it, I thought we started to break that down. We got more opportunities that way. We were patient enough to find a way to get a lead. Of course, we gave it back there because we had a couple bad sequences late in the first. But you know, I thought we just stayed with it all throughout the game and were patient to wait for our opportunities, wait for the game to open up, and we played with the lead, you know, throughout the game, and that really helps.
You set a team record for the most 4-goal road games in a row. Does that speak to this team's creativity and obviously something you want to see at home as well?
Well, yeah, I mean, it speaks to our ability to score goals and to finish, and, you know, that is the strength of our team. That's our foundation. The record itself, I think, is, you know, pretty insignificant, not anything we're too focused on, but it does speak to us putting ourselves in position to win games on the road, and, of course, we'd like to bring that home. Yeah, I mean, he worked his way up the ice. I thought there was some pretty nice playmaking going on before puck ultimately lands on his stick. But Zach Hyman today was just working. I mean, we've come to expect that from him. But when the game was on the line, he was battling and he was pressuring the puck and creating turnovers and taking away any sort of time they might have to create anything offensively. So he was a workhorse today, and I'm happy to see him get rewarded.
Is there anything you've learned about Mitch that you have a chance to kind of see him up close?
I know he likes to play a lot. You know, he's a guy that's kind of always looking at you and wants to be out there, expects to be out there, and you like that about him. He wants to be in the moment and wants to be a difference maker. But I think, you know, like Austin, I think we know that what he's capable of and what his abilities are. The nice thing about him is that the offensive instincts that he has really translate to his defensive game as well, to be able to read plays and close space and get a stick on pucks, create turnovers, all that kind of stuff. He's very good at that.
Did you have a couple of key draws at the end there with Aurelio?
Yeah, that was great to see. I mean, I was tempted to leave him out there, but I just thought
we could get an advantage perhaps with having some fresh legs out there, given that they were just riding the same guys. So we went with that. It worked out for us, but those were some big big face-off wins for sure.
Yeah, it's not reflected on the score sheet, but just Cody Ceci's play, and you've got him in there, obviously, blocking shots. He likes to do that.
Yeah, no doubt. You know what? There's a couple of games really stand out. Today's one, the one down in Colorado early in my tenure here. Game on the line, goalie out, late penalty kills, all that kind of stuff. He really competes. He's very strong around the net, very strong below the goal line. Any sort of battles and coming up with those loose pucks, which are so important when the game's on the line. He's very good at that, and I think his teammates recognize it, and that's why he got the game ball tonight.
Why stay overtime, kind of a rest thing?
Yeah, just with the time change and the late travel, we're just trying to keep our guys on a more regular sleep schedule here. The games are coming at us quickly, and we do have an off day tomorrow, so it's a good chance for us to take advantage of that and try to keep guys on a more normal sleep routine.
All right, there's Sheldon Keefe. Speaking of sleep, all hell's breaking loose at the Battle of Alberta. We expected a bloodbath. Two fights in the first period, including the first career fight for Sean Monahan against Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. And Gord, we got the main event,
yeah.
Tkachuk against Cassian. I got to say, I've been on Team Cassian since the beginning of this thing about a month ago, but I give some props to Matthew Tkachuk. He seemed like a guy who knew what he had to do, and that was scrap Zach Cassian, which he did.
Yeah, they did it just when the puck was being dropped on a faceoff. By the way, Calgary is leading 1-0 late in the first period in that game. So, yeah, it's over. I mean, that, you know, and people forget, Steve Moore did fight in that game, okay, before all that crap happened, and that's the biggest part, anything being... Any hint of something being premeditated like it was back then that resulting in something catastrophic, that's what you don't want to have happen. So I think that might be it as far as those two go for tonight anyway, Calgary, Edmonton. They'll be back out there. But Matthew Tkachuk, he fought out of his weight class and he showed up.
Held his own, and I'll note too that Zach Rinaldo's playing in this game and seemed pretty fired up at Zach Cassian following that scrap. So watch out for that going forward here late in the first period there. We're going to hit our final break. The Maple Leafs happy. Talk about the Battle of Alberta. The Battle of Ontario is back on Saturday. We'll have Leafs Nation postgame. The Maple Leafs hosting the Ottawa Senators. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick. We'll tee you up for that and plenty of big games upcoming for this Maple Leafs squad. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Let our trained professionals help you come down from the high of the game here on the Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
All right, we're here to wrap things up here on Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick after a 5-3 win on the road for your Maple Leafs. Another big night for Zach Hyman. Multi-point effort for Tyson Barrie. Matthew scores number 36. This guy's going to get to 50, it seems, at least this way right now. At the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick, where you can find us on Twitter. Again, five other games, the NHL on this Wednesday. And the highlight, major affair everybody's been talking about the last couple days is Zach Cassian coming back from suspension and Battle of Alberta. I think it's back. These teams jockeying for playoff positioning. The Flames scoring early on. Travis Hamonic the goal, but we've seen a couple scraps here in the first quarter.
Yeah, I did. Sean Monahan and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, which you don't normally see. And then we had Cassian and Tkachuk. Cassian is lucky he did it before he signed it, or after he did his four-year, $3 million-plus contract, because you don't want to hurt your writing hand for that. But anyway, Tkachuk showed up. So good on that. I did think one thing is Sheldon Keefe. Interesting that the Leafs will stay over in Dallas tonight. So, you know, a bit of a different thing. They would have been off tomorrow anyway. I don't think it's a bad idea. Like, rather than getting home at 3:30 in the morning, go out tonight. And
I've heard Dallas is a really good nightlife.
Well, I don't know what's much about the night like after a game, but anyway, who knows what. But just, you know, get out, that kind of thing, get a good night's sleep, and then come home during the day, because it was going to be an off day anyway, right? So you're going to be an off day anyway, so you might as well travel normally. Then you'll practice on Friday because you've had very few practices. And then you got Ottawa on Saturday. And then you got Florida on Monday. So you got the big four-pointer at home against the Florida Panthers on Monday. And you got the one. You can never assume anything, but you got to hope and assume you win on Saturday. So that would put you in good stead taking on the Panthers in that big game next Monday.
Hashtag team building perhaps tonight for the Maple Leafs in Dallas as they stay over. We heard the sentiments of Sheldon Keefe last segment. So we look forward to Saturday night, Gordon. You talk about the role of spoiler. Ottawa DJ Smith, I mean, there's a lot of revenge in terms of that narrative going back and forth with Connor Brown coming to town, et cetera.
Ron Hainsey and Nikita Zaitsev. Like,
the entire
Tyler
team.
Ennis.
Yeah, they've basically traded teams. DJ Smith, maybe he gets a video tribute. You never know. But they're going to play you tough. If there's one thing we've learned about Ottawa, they might not have the most talent in the world, but they play you tough. And they've played the Maple Leafs tough so far this year.
Yeah, they have. And teams like being spoilers. And I know none of these guys were around the Ottawa Senators when the Toronto Maple Leafs would spoil their season in the playoffs year after year after year. But there's a bit of that. There's a bit of memory that way. So I'm sure that would be something they'd love to do. There's no game you can take for granted. And I think the big thing Sheldon Keefe just said, part of being mature as opposed to immature, is making sure you have a standard that you applied in these two games against better opponents, but you also do it for the lesser opponents, because they were six lesser opponents point-wise in the six games before the break, and the Maple Leafs didn't do it.
Elsewhere on the NHL tonight, the Anaheim Ducks up 2-1 after 20. The native of Burford, Ontario, Adam Henrique's got both goals for the Ducks in that game. LA, just a really, really emotional night. Clearly, the first game back for professional sporting team at Staples Center. Tyler Toffoli, the opening goal. Commemorating, of course, the life and times of Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna, and, of course, the seven others who passed away, and just that absolute tragedy back on Sunday. So the Kings up 1-0 there against Tampa late in the first period. The Sharks now 1-1 with the Vancouver Canucks. That's midway through the first period. Tomas Hertl actually kicked off the scoring with his 16th of the season. And the other final we do know about, the Nashville Predators, the Maple Leafs took care of them the other night. A 5-4 win, just a wacky, crazy hockey game. From Washington, Braden Holtby again had his struggles, 5-on-24 in that game. But Yannick Weber, his first of the season, the eventual game winner. I laugh because a weird night. So Nashville gets five goals. One from Jared Tenorti, took over 6 years of NHL hockey to score his first NHL goal. The other from NHL journeyman defenseman Yannick Weber. It's not Shea Weber in Nashville anymore.
No, that's a huge win for them. They had a 3-1 lead and they saw it dissipate, right?
Yeah.
And that would have been a tough one to bounce back from. So that's a big game for them. And like we said, the other ones out there, different motivations. In Los Angeles, you know, I got to say, I know we at Sportsnet played some marvelous coverage. Just the guy sitting there in the Staples Center, Shaq O'Neal and
crazy.
Others.
Yeah.
It really was, when I say great TV, it was just let them talk. And boy, Jerry West, I grew up remembering Jerry West playing. Yeah. I don't know if a lot of people even remember he was general manager of the teams that won the championships. He was gutted.
Yeah.
He was just gutted.
Yeah.
It was really very powerful and impactful. And certainly there's other people that were killed in the tragic accident, and we feel for them as well. Obviously Kobe's just the only one we know, because he has that larger than life name in the sports world.
Very well said. Just one of those where were you moments, right? And 50 years from now we're going to be saying, my goodness, it's just one of those, you know, life just leaves you so quickly, sadly enough.
Puts things back in perspective moments. Absolutely.
Very well said here. Changing focus last couple seconds, many thanks to Sam McKee, Vic Pilati, and Kyle Norris for their hard work behind the scenes. Just a big time victory, folks, for your Maple Leafs. 5-3 here in Dallas. Road trip, the mini road trip now complete. Next up Saturday night, join us for Leafs Nation postgame. Gord's always, you're always fired up for the Battle of Ontario.
I am fired at the Battle of Ontario, and the next weekend they're in Montreal on a Saturday night. Yeah.
Love those ones as well, and we cannot wait for Monday. We'll have Leafs Nation pregame for that one, the Maple Leafs, the Florida Panthers. For Gord Stellick, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Take care.